Remember Trump's first impeachment? I really feel it is important to discuss Trump's first impeachment because it ties into Ukraine even today. Ukraine became independent in 1991 as the USSR dissolved. Since then, Ukraine has tried to become a member of NATO. Putin has been in a de facto war since 2014 with cyber attacks and naval incidents against Ukraine in what was called Russo-Ukrainian War. Russia occupied and annexed Crimea from Ukraine. In February of 2022, Russia attacked Ukraine in the biggest invasion in Europe since World War II, with hundreds of thousands of military casualties and tens of thousands civilian casualties because Ukraine was getting closer to becoming a member of NATO, and Putin had about $600 billion to make sure that it didn't happen. Ukraine does have some NATO protections from Russia, but without becoming a real member, the motto of attack on one is attack on all doesn't apply, and so Putin doesn't want Ukraine to become a member, even though NATO agreed back in 2008 at the Bucharest summit that Ukraine would become a member. Also, at the end of this year, an agreement to pipeline natural gas through Ukraine will not be renewed. All comes down to the rubles. So now you know why Putin helped Trump get elected. Putin wanted him to cut the aid to Ukraine. The U.S. has more military ammunition than most of the EU combined, so that's why Ukraine needs the U.S. Putin has also infiltrated many of our Congress members as well. I'm looking at you, J.D. Vance. Putin's Republican allies don't understand that if Ukraine falls, it will be our military, our servicemen and women that will have to get involved, which could lead not to a Cold War, but a full-on World War III. We will never know the conversation Trump had with Putin July of 2018 in Helsinki because he had the notes ripped up by the translator. But it did look like Trump became Putin's, well, puppet. The House of Representatives are the ones that have to approve aid to Ukraine. So why did Trump tell the acting chief of staff, Mick Mulvaney, to withhold the $400 million in military aid to Ukraine for 55 days? Quid pro quo much? Senator Jerry Nadler asked the Democratic Council on House Intelligence Committee what the difference between Biden and Trump's actions with Ukraine.
Mr. Goldman, can you please explain the difference between Vice President Biden's request to Ukraine a few years ago and President Trump's request to Ukraine earlier this year?
Yes, when Vice President Biden pressured the Ukrainian president to remove the corrupt prosecutor general, he was doing so with an international consensus as part of U.S. policy. The entire European Union supported that. The IMF supported that. The IMF, which also gave the loans that he was referring to. And so he did that as part of the entire international community's consensus. And when President Trump is asking for this investigation of Joe Biden, all of the witnesses, every single one, testified that that had nothing to do with official U.S. policy.
In July of 2019, Trump on a phone call asked Vladimir Zelensky to help his personal lawyer Rudy Giuliani and general attorney Bill Barr by saying Ukraine was investigating Joe and Hunter Biden's corruption. Just say there's an investigation. Zelensky had to agree to help with Trump's investigation or lose the aid. Zelensky even recalled his American ambassador and helped get a new prosecutor elected. His perfect call was reported by whistleblower U.S. Lieutenant Colonel Alexander Vindman, the Director of European Affairs for the United States National Security Council, who was on the call. Trump didn't realize people were actually listening to his calls in the White House. Oops. The part of the phone call is when Trump said this: "I would like you to do us a favor, though, because our country has been through a lot and Ukraine knows a lot about it. I would like you to find out what happened with the whole situation with Ukraine. They say CrowdStrike. I guess you have one of your wealthy people. The server. They say Ukraine has it. There are a lot of things that went on. The whole situation. I think you're surrounding yourself with some of the same people. I would like to have the Attorney General call you or your people, and I would like you to get to the bottom of it. As you saw yesterday, the whole nonsense ended with a very poor performance by a man named Robert Mueller. An incompetent performance. But they say a lot of it started with Ukraine. Whatever you can do, it's very important that you do it, if that's possible. Zelensky would finally get his promised visit to the White House with Trump in September of 2019, where he was asked about the phone call.
President Zelensky, have you felt any pressure from President Trump to investigate Joe Biden and Hunter Biden?
I think you read everything. So I think you read text. I'm sorry, but I don't want to be involved to democratic, open, elections of USA. No, you heard that we had, good phone call. It was normal. We spoke about many things, and I think, and you read it, that nobody pushed me.
Well, sorry there, Zelensky. You were always in the middle. If you see the video to this clip, you could tell that he was scared and being very submissive to Trump. Just Google it. The impeachment would become a three-ring circus divided along party lines. A few of Trump lawyers would include White House counsel Pat Cipollone, Pam Bondi, Alan Dershowitz, Jay Sekulow, and Ken Starr. Any of those names sound familiar to you? The House of Representative managers would be Adam Schiff, the lead manager, Jason Crow, Val Demings, Sylvia Garcia, Hakeem Jeffries, Zoe Lofgren, and Jerry Nadler. The House did their part by impeaching Trump on the charges of abuse of power and obstruction of Congress by keeping people from testifying. But even after testimonies, clear evidence, and hundreds of hours, Mitch McConnell and the GOP senators voted against removing him from office. It takes 67 senators to vote to remove, which was always known by the House, yet they persisted. Senator from New York Chuck Schumer summarizes it the best.
Mr. President, the majority leader can come up on the floor and repeat his talking points, but there are some salient points that are irrefutable. The first, this is the first impeachment trial of a president or impeachment trial of anybody else that was completed that has no witnesses and no documents. The American people are just amazed that our Republican friends would not even ask for witnesses and documents. I thought the House did a very good job. I thought they made a compelling case. But even if you didn't, the idea that that means you shouldn't have witnesses and documents when we're doing something as august, as important as an impeachment trial fails the laugh test. It makes people believe, correctly in my judgment, that the administration, its top people, and Senate Republicans are all hiding the truth. They're afraid of the truth. Second, the charges are extremely serious. To interfere in an election, to blackmail a foreign country, to interfere in our elections, gets at the very core of what our democracy is about. If Americans believe that they don't determine who is president, who is governor, who is senator, but some foreign potentate out of reach of any law enforcement can jaundice our elections, that's the beginning of end of democracy. So it's a serious charge. The Republicans refused to get the evidence because they were afraid of what it would show. And that's all that needs to be said. I yield the floor. Note the absence of a quorum.
Trump did everything possible to obstruct Congress's first impeachment. Lots of subpoenas were not adhered to. The State Department stonewalled Congress. Trump loyalists dodged and lawyered up, leading to Trump holding up newspapers with the headline reading, "Trump Acquitted." Even though he had his political party acquittal, he would hold the biggest grudge against all those who were involved. He fired two key impeachment witnesses, Lieutenant Colonel Alexander Vindman, the top Ukraine expert on the National Security Council, and U.S. Ambassador to the European Union, Gordon Sondland. Project 2025 doesn't mention impeachments, but with them wanting to consolidate power in the DOJ, it might make the next impeachment process impossible. Ukraine was mentioned 25 times, mostly against Russian interest. Surprising, I know. Although they do use it as the prime example to load up on more ammunition and force NATO and the EU to do more. Maybe that's why Speaker Mike Johnson pushed the last Ukrainian aid package through, even though Trump loyalists voted against it. I remember watching an interview with Trump and family after the election on 60 Minutes with Leslie Stahl. Two things stood out to me. One, when she asked why does he keep saying fake news, and he admitted to discredit journalists who cover him unfairly, including her. He meant all anti-Trump news was fake. Two, when Ivanka Trump said her dad holds the biggest grudges. So a man who had the hardest 4 years of his criminal life, who hated so many against him, especially Adam Schiff, Nancy Pelosi, and Chuck Schumer, led to his tirade and revenge on the Capitol on January 6, leading to the first time a president would be impeached and acquitted twice. A little bit of a footnote here. As the world tunes in to the Olympics for the next couple of weeks, it should be said that the Olympic Committee voted to remove Russia and Belarus from the Paris Olympics because of their war with Ukraine. Whereas Ukraine has a diminished 140 competitors, their lowest turnout because of the war hurting their athletes. Join me next time when I cover January 6th and how we are being gaslighted like it never happened. I care about our country, and I hope you do too. Remember to vote November 5th.